Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Two Jays go for 22 apiece. Jaylen Brown, 22 points, 8 rebounds. Jason Tatum, 22 and 6. I beg your pardon, 22 and 11 with 6 assists. And the Boston Celtics, a 20-point win.
I hope you're having the best of Sundays. It's KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Celtics by 20. And John, I've got to give Joe Mazzulla and these guys a lot of credit for killing what was going to be the big narrative if they allowed Miami to get life off of winning game two. So hats off to the Celtics of just, I think, pretty much destroying the Heat.
Yeah, it was a great Saturday in Boston sports, KJ. We had the Bruins with a big win, the Red Sox with a big win. What seems like a potentially good Patriots draft, obviously we won't know that answer for a couple of years, but we'll check back then. But yeah, the Celtics as well, highlighting things, 104-84, and it felt like a lot of the things we talked about in the postgame show on Wednesday that the Celtics did wrong in Game 2, it felt like they did those things right in Game 3, and it led to a big win. So if they can just continue doing those things right, which we're going to get into here, they should be on track to be able to win this series in 5 games.
I think the most important thing for me, because all eyes are going to point towards Tatum because he's the superstar of the team and how you make the adjustments, is just because you don't have a great game from outside doesn't mean that you still can't get to the line. 8 for 12. So the 22 points, almost half of them, almost close to half of them from the free throw line. So if there's one thing that I've been saying about Jason Tatum in the playoffs scenarios that he's been in so far, is don't shy away from going to the hole, because now you are considered a superstar. You will get those calls. A couple of years ago, it felt like he may get those calls. Then maybe a couple of years ago, it was 50-50. Now I think it's one of those understood that the more you go to the hole, the more you're going to get those calls, because if you're shooting 6 for 12 from the field, 6 for 16 from the field, you've got to change it up. And I'm glad to see that that's happening, because the last thing you want to find the Celtics in a situation where they've been missing threes all game and then trying to make up by going to the hole late in the game and not getting the calls.
Yeah, and I think another piece of this, you mentioned Tatum didn't shoot well from three, but he did get to the free throw line. He led the team in rebounds with 11. He tied for the team lead in assist with 6. So he had a major impact on this game in addition to those 22 points. I thought he was really good defensively as well. And another huge piece of this, KJ, Kristaps Porzingis bounced back and had a really good game. He was 1 for 9 in game two, was really his worst game as a Celtic. Last night, 5 for 9, 18 points. Much, much better last night. And I felt like, too, there were times in game two where they were almost trying to force it inside to Porzingis, which he's been good on the inside all year, but it felt a little forced at times. It felt like they didn't do that. They let it come a little bit more naturally, and I think it really helped their offense. So again, they scored 101 points in game two. They score 104 points in game three. Not a big difference, but it felt like these 104 points came to them a lot easier than what they got in game two.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We got a ton to get to, but it kind of the intense version. Bruins last night, plus the draft, and we'll look at all the picks and even the Joe Milton situation, which I think brings an interesting conversation, plus the Lions then and Patriots Island. There are too many damn receivers in the receiver room. That's all still to come. But I got to give the dude his flowers right now from the Celtics game because he's the person that I pointed out the most, and that's Peyton Pritchard. And what he is providing, and this is what I'm looking for him, is stolen moments in the game. If I'm sitting here saying I need to see Peyton Pritchard drop 15 or 18 in a game, I don't think that's the Malcolm Brogdon role that this guy is designed to do. He's the guy to sneak off and get a rebound or grab an offensive rebound or just shoot 3 for 5 from the field and notice that you had a clear impact on the court where you're allowing for these stolen moments for the team to build that lead, right? So it's not like, hey, he's going off on a 7 straight point situation or like what Jaylen Brown did at the end of the first half in game two, but just be there in these little stolen moments that you go, oh my gosh, that's another deflating moment for the Heat. And so this is what he can provide best, and that's why you keep him out there for 25 minutes a game.
Yeah, and you mentioned those stolen moments. It feels like over the last couple of years, far too often, it's been the Heat winning those little stolen moments. You know, last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, in Game 2 the other night, and it felt to me, KJ, and I think this might have been the single biggest reason the Celtics won last night, defensively, they were a lot better. I mean, think about, I felt like we spent almost the entire 2 hours Wednesday night talking about how the Heat were shooting open threes. In game two, they had 23 three-point shots that were rated as wide open, nobody within 6 feet. Game three, they had 13. Like, that's a huge improvement right there. Remember game two when the Celtics got smoked in that third quarter after ending the first half on a strong note? They outplay the Heat in the third quarter in this one. The Heat only had 12 points in the opening 12 minutes of the game. That first score. I mean, the Celtics defensively were much, much better than they were in game two. And I think, again, probably the single biggest reason that the Celtics won this game, much more engaged defensively. They made things harder on the Heat. And think about the Heat. Like, Tyler Hero is a good shooter, but if you make it hard enough on these guys, they are not going to score enough points to beat you.
Yeah, Hero 5 for 16 from the field and 3 for 9 from three. And I think the other story is the Heat bench was not the story again. No points from Kevin Love, nothing from Duncan Robinson, 8 points from Highsmith. That Patty Mills even gets in the game and becomes more productive because the game was so far out of reach. And if you remember in game two, every Heat starter was in double digits for points. So that didn't happen. Oh, you know, Caleb Martin was definitely shut down, but he wasn't as active in the game as he was in game two. And I think everybody knew, and I'm sure the Heat knew as well, that they weren't going to shoot the way they did in game two. I think if they had a game plan, it was probably to think, could we get the Celtics to be a little timid in the head and possibly go away from being very dominant and driving to the paint? That's what they did. The Celtics 15 for 21 from the free throw line, and the Heat get to the free throw line only 14 times. So, again, when you force them into shooting 9 for 28, the Heat, you know, from the field, from three-point land, you get a sense that, all right, you know, wasn't what worked last time isn't going to work as well. Like, 32% is bad, but it isn't the worst you've ever seen. It just wasn't as good. And then getting to the free throw line more. And I think in game two, it was a situation where the Celtics barely got to the free throw line more than the Heat did, even though the Heat was shooting all those threes.
I also think Derek White was much better in game three than game two. I mean, late in game two, he had that corner three and then the three-point play, the layup that went in, and then he hit the free throw. But other than that, I felt like he was largely invisible in game two. Whereas game three, he has 16 points. He shoots 50%. Felt like he was really active on the defensive end. He even grabbed 5 rebounds. Like, I felt like Derek White was a lot better. And Drew Holiday, this was kind of like weird to me. So he has 3 points. He only hits one shot. But that three that he hit felt really impactful when he hit it. Like, so it's only 3 points.
But you feel like you want to see more from him.
Oh, 100%. And that's the thing. So I want to see more from Drew Holiday. But even he, on a bad shooting night, the one shot he hit was at least impactful. And if Drew Holiday's going to have an off night, but you have Porzingis scoring 18 and Tatum and Brown each with 22 and White with 16, you can survive it, right? The issue they had in game two, the Heat had a terrific shooting night. The Celtics played bad defensively, and they had multiple guys have off nights. Like, their starting five is good enough that you can have a guy have an off night and you can survive it and still win a playoff game, which is essentially what happened last night, albeit Holiday's 1-3 did at least kind of feel impactful.
Yeah. So something else that's going on in the Eastern Conference that I think is very key to check out is game four today between the Pacers and the Bucks. There's no Giannis and there's no Damian Lillard. And I wonder if they go down 3-1 in their series, are you concerned that the Celtics might be like, we've got this?
You know what? And I guess let me put it this way, KJ, because that's, I think, a great question. With last year's Celtics, I would have 100% concern in that area. With this year's Celtics, I have like 10% concern in that area. I think they've come a long way in that regard, but this is one of those things that until they win a championship, we can't fully put that to rest, right? That it's just one of those things because last year's Celtics played with their food all the time. This year's Celtics, we saw it in game two, right? They kind of messed around. They didn't play well. And yeah, I know the Heat had a great night, but the Celtics helped them with that. So maybe that Heat game was a wake-up call in game two, and they're going to keep their foot on the gas the rest of the way, which is why, again, I'm not that concerned, but I still put it at like a 10% because until they actually do it, we can't really say that we don't have that concern.
Here's where I will have a concern if there's no Bucks to see towards the end. Would there really be a team that challenges the Celtics for whoever they're going to face in the Western Conference? Because what's going on in the Western Conference is just an absolute knockout, drag-out fight. Like, their top teams are doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, Phoenix may fire their head. I'm not saying this is a report, but it's going so bad for the Suns that, hell, might as well fire Frank Vogel after Game 4 because you know what's coming. So that is the concern that I would have is, who is the team that's really going to sharpen the iron for the Celtics moving forward? Because can we both agree that we think this Heat series is over in five?
I think so, and I hope so, because if the Celtics go to six, I think that's a problem. And your point, like, even look at Denver, who's the team. Like, I think the most likely teams the Celtics would face in a finals if they got there is Denver or OKC. Denver, yeah, they're up 3-1 on the Lakers, but the Lakers have had a double-digit lead in all four games. Denver had to come back in the first three games. You're still playing against LeBron and Anthony Davis, and I know it's not the same Lakers from the bubble that won a championship, but it's still LeBron, it's still AD. They're still getting tested. They're going to get tested later in the playoffs. OKC is going to continue to get tested, and I know they've had a great first-round series, but as they move along, like, they're going to get tested quite a bit. And Minnesota, who is probably that next team there, like, I know they're up on Phoenix, but it's still a team that has Kevin Durant. Like, they're still getting tested, whereas the Celtics, like, I think if they were to play Indiana.
Really think Indiana would
no.
be a...
Would, okay. That's what I'm getting at. Like, Indiana won the in-season tournament. They have Tyrese Halliburton.
That was like, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, does that... I think they would give the Celtics a little bit more tests than the Heat, but I don't think... Like, I'm not looking at that... Like, oh, we really have to, like, if the Celtics don't play an A-plus game, they can't win. Like, the Celtics can play a pretty good game, and they can beat the Pacers in a series and the Heat in a series.
I'll tell you what, we'll discuss a little more of the Celtics here. We'll hear from some of the post-game from last night from Tatum, and then we'll get to the Bruins and what they did to Toronto last night. I think they just, I mean, Toronto just realized that nothing under
that
the age of 16 knows anything. Yeah, they don't, we'll get into that conversation because I've got to follow up what I said about Toronto the other night. Then we still got to get to the Patriots draft and everything. And they've also signed some free agents. So we'll get to that. There's so much here on on KJ and Lions here on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Time to trend with Zach Coe.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back to KJ and Lions on WEEI.
And what do you think were some of the key adjustments going into this game that led to this result?
Just making sure our spacing was right. That's a really good defensive team, and they try to force you to play in the crowd. So make sure that we knew, what we were trying to get out of each action and making sure that we were in our right spots to give each other the right spacing.
Yes. Yeah, Heat culture, give it away. Give it away now. Why are you wasting our time? They're just going to five. KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We get to your calls in about 30 seconds. John, that's Jason Tatum. They made the right adjustments from game two to game three.
Yeah, and it's like I said, they only scored a few more points in game three than game two, but it just felt like things moved easier, things flowed easier, those points came a little bit easier. And part of that, again, the defensive intensity, the better closeouts on threes, the better game at the perimeter on defense, I think that led to more offense as well. So it kind of felt like both of those things were much better than game three. They fed into each other, and that is why you got a 20-point win.
All right, we're about 20 minutes away from the Lions' den, roaring or meowing here before we get to the next hour at Patriots Talk. Let's go to David in Rhode Island. David, thanks for calling KJ and Lions. Good Sunday to you, man.
Hey, good Sunday, guys. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the call. So I am a little bit concerned about the Celtics because we got to remember one thing. Butler's not playing in Miami. If he was, it would be a whole different game. And the fact that we lost, the Celtics lost that second game at home, they shouldn't have lost that game. That is something that sits, and you can't overlook that. I don't think Celtics is it's not going to be a walk in the park. I think this is going to go to seven games, and it's going to be a tough seven. If it goes to seven games, it's going to be a tough game. It's not going to be easy. I hate to say it because I'm a huge Celtics fan, but they don't have toughness. These guys play weak. They're not tough players. They don't, they worry too much about shooting too many threes, instead of taking it to the hole, taking it to the paint as they should and drive it in, draw fouls, whatever. And that's a problem, and that's the concern that I have. And depending who they get on the next round, if they get by Miami, I don't know. I really don't. I'm not feeling too confident. I hate to say it.
David, thanks for the call.
I'm a positive guy.
Yeah, he does feel Nostradamusian, if that's the word. Because
yeah, we'll say that's the word.
Well, because here's the thing, right? The way the series is playing out with Orlando and Cleveland, it feels like there's an iron sharpening iron thing going on there, right? Like, that's a series that may go to seven games, and that might get one of those teams playoff ready. Now, I would say that Cleveland already is because of what they've been able to formate over the last couple of years. Orlando's like the new kids on the block, if you will. But I give David some credence. Now, I will say, if this Heat series goes seven games, someone needs to have a conversation about the coaching. It should not even get that close. But when you get to that second series, I am concerned about the size that exists in those two teams in Orlando and Cleveland, and that could be a tougher series than what it looks like on paper, because you're so used to saying Orlando or Cleveland.
Orlando's good. I mean, people can
they're
sleep
both
on
good.
People
they're
can sleep on Orlando
really
if they want.
Good.
But like
the yeah. Wagner brothers, you know, the little Jean and Wagner brothers.
Bonchero is a stud.
So again, I see where David's coming from when he says, yeah. I don't know about that next round, because again, we mentioned in the previous break that there will be no Giannis, who hasn't been in this Bucks series, and there's no Dame Lillard today, and they're down 2-1 on the road. If they go down 3-1, the Bucks may be out of it, and it might not have anything to do with Doc Rivers. And so would the Celtics kind of feel like, hey, who we thought would be waiting for this moment to determine who goes to the NBA Finals is out, and would that allow them to let the foot off the gas?
Yeah, and you do worry that if the Celtics got to a finals and they face Denver, OKC, or even Minnesota, and then all of a sudden in game one they just get punched in the mouth and they're down 0-1. And then not that they can't recover from that, but because to your point, it's the first time all playoffs they really get punched in the mouth, right? It's like, and to the caller's point about Jimmy Butler, like, I think if Jimmy Butler was playing in this series, it would be 2-1 Celtics right now. Because the way the Celtics
came out. Yeah, I don't think anything changes, yeah.
The way the Celtics came out and shot the ball in game one, I think they would have won that game. The way they came out last night, and not just shot the ball, but especially defensively, that intensity, I think they'd still be up 2-1. However, they probably still would have lost game two, right, if Jimmy Butler's playing.
No,
and I wouldn't
I don't think that happens. I think they win game three. I think the Heat win game three.
So you'd flip it. Celtics win game two.
Yeah, because the Heat wouldn't have taken that many threes if Jimmy Butler's out there on the court. Jimmy Butler's that mid-range game. So they wouldn't have been taking a bunch of threes out there the way they did. I think they took a bunch of threes knowing this was their only way to not go down 2-0, was take a chance and do what the Celtics do.
Yeah, and I mentioned last segment that, like, how concerned are you? You know, last year I would have been 100% concerned. Now I'm only like 10% concerned or so. But to the caller's point, like, I still have that concern, right? Because they still have to do it. And I think game two, the unfortunate thing about game two as well, was that was an opportunity for them to win a close game late against a team that's given them problems in the past.
It shouldn't have been a close game.
But just, you know, bear with me here. Like, in the past, that's been a huge problem. And this year, during the regular season, they were better about winning those close games late than they've been in the past. That was an opportunity in the playoffs to do it. And no matter how it got there, it was an opportunity, and they didn't do it. And so now they win game one by a blowout. They win game three by a blowout. I mean, I think they're going to win this series in five games, but I would like to see one of these games, these next two, they win by like 4 or 5 points and actually have to grind it out, because they're going to need that experience going. It's one thing to grind it out in the regular season.
Well,
it's a totally different thing in the playoffs.
Well, here's the thing. If game one is a blowout and game three is a blowout, then game two shouldn't have, if at best it should have been, it would have been close and still a win. So I see where David's call and his comment is like, hey, sometimes this team can seem like they are asleep in situations, because again, you say in the past, well, Jimmy Butler is included in that past. There's no Gabe Vincent. There's no Strus.
Yep.
You know, so there, those guys, Duncan Robinson was going off last year. He's not really been a factor this year. So there's no Murray, Kyle Lowry. So there are all those important pieces to what this Heat culture is, isn't really there. It's really Tyler Hero. Jaquez has made a very strong showing as a rookie. You've got Bam, but Bam can't do it all by himself. And you're like, okay, we're looking for Caleb Martin to beat us. Well, yesterday was his chance, and he was nowhere near close. So there is a feeling that the Celtics blow out game one. Game two would be a bit closer, but still a win. Maybe game three would be a struggle, and it wasn't. So either they should be up 3-0 or lost only one game on the road. So that's the other part, is this is a chance to really stomp the Heat. You could still do it in five. It would be kind of like a gentleman's sweep, what we joked about. But at the same time, you shouldn't let the Heat feel like they should be close in any game, especially when you know the next series you're facing, they still could be in their series when you finish this. So that's why I think it's important for the Celtics to finish eating their food by game five. Because if there's now a best of three series going on between Orlando and Cleveland, and they still have to go back to Cleveland, that series is automatically going to six. So you need to be rested, ready to battle whoever's coming next, either Orlando or Cleveland, because you know there's going to be a size and even a youth thing. Even you've got some stars that are even a tad bit younger than Brown and Tatum that seem like they're ready.
And this is a great opportunity for the Celtics to show they're different than last year. right? Last year, round one, they're up 3-1 going into game five. Murray's not playing. They mess around. They lose that game, and the series ends up going six. And even game six towards the end was kind of a close game in that fourth quarter. Celtics had to play some pretty good defense to eventually close that out. But last year, they messed around, and it went to six. Last year against Philly, Embiid doesn't play game one, and the Celtics lose at home. Right? Last year, they have a lead in the, what, fourth quarter or late in the third quarter of game two against Miami and lose at home. Right? This is a good opportunity for them to show that they're different than last year. Okay, you screwed around. You lost game two. Again, part of it was that great Heat shooting night. But do you bounce back now and win games three, four, five? Because, again, last year they didn't do that, right? They lost game one to Philly last year. They win games two and three, but then they lose game four in overtime. And then, you know, they have to win game six and seven just to be able to advance to the conference finals. Like, this is a huge opportunity for them to show they are different than last year. But I think they have to do that in five games. Like, if this goes to six games, KJ,
John, here's a different feeling than last year. Here's an indicator, and these guys almost never get it wrong, and it's the lines makers. Game one, 14.5. Game two, let's just move to game two, Celtics 14.5 favorites. Game three, it was 9.5. It's now back up to 10.5. So they believe that the Celtics have the momentum after the way they won game three, almost to the point where they don't even believe that the Heat will be close in game four. I'm not concerned about
we said going into game five against Atlanta last year, though.
But that's last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is the opportunity for them to show it's different.
Well, the makeup is totally different of the team as well. So if anything, what the bench does has been adjusted. So last year it was like, hey, you need that Malcolm Brogdon out there to kind of make up for what Marcus Smart might be missing out there. You would need the points. Now you have basketball IQ at its highest in terms of offensive acumen on the court, which you're starting five now, that you don't need to suddenly have this big gunner off the bench. That's why Al Horford works, because it gives you the size, it gives you competence, and it can get you points. And then you can have the other guys with Hauser and with Pritchard that can be able to steal moments in the game and be able to put those games over the top. So they're built different, and there's no Jimmy Butler this year. So that's why I never like really comparing what a team was 2 or 3 years ago to what they are now, unless you have the same exact thing. Maybe it's from
my psychology
background.
Do you have the same two stars and the same coach that have had this problem before? That's why I go, like, I understand what you're saying, but it's the same two lead dog stars that have had this problem before. It's the same head coaches last year when the Celtics had these problems. To me, if they're going to win a championship, yes, Porzingis is going to be a huge piece. Holiday and White are going to be huge pieces, but it's going to be led by Tatum and Brown and the head coach. Like, that's the driving forces for them, and that's why I look back to last. Normally, you're right, I get it, but because it's those same two lead dogs, that's why I want to see how different this is.
But I'm also saying the makeup, like, Joel Embiid really should not be out there.
Sure.
Right? I was one who thought, like, look, shut down the season, get him back next year, because you're going to have to figure out if you're going to make a close to $300 million commitment to him. And if you're going to run him, like, what I see out there, it looks like RG3 being forced into the playoffs back in the day. So you've got a damaged Embiid this year. There's no Harden in the conference. You remember when you had the big three with the Nets, with Durant and Kyrie and those guys, that was supposed to be something. So all those different narratives, what's different is the Celtics are at the top of the conversation now. They used to share the conversation. And so this is a different perspective that they're sitting from. And I think because of having, you know, with Porzingis and with Jrue Holiday there, this is now the team to beat, but you can beat yourselves. I don't think it happens with the Heat. I think there's a better test between Cleveland and with Orlando. And then we'll see what happens if it's the Knicks in the Eastern Conference finals against
the Knicks. The Knicks would be a good test.
Now you're closer to a mirror. It's like the Knicks are one of those teams that tell you, hey, we've got probably one guy that can scare you with their talent and a bunch of dudes who are like gang ready, you know, and could that intimidate some people, right? You've got size at places. You've got tough guys who are willing to do tough work. And that's what you wonder could be a problem to the Celtics. So you just don't know at this point. I think game four is a win. You say it's a win.
Yeah, and I think another encouraging thing from last night, they won a game that they did not shoot well from three. They were 29% as a team, and they still won. Like, that's another issue they've had. And they had it a little bit this season, but especially going back before they got Porzingis, before they got Holiday, they really had difficulty winning games that they didn't shoot well from three. And you talked about Tatum earlier getting to the line. Like, that was a huge part of it. They got to the free throw line. They were better defensively. So, I mean, to win a championship, they're going to have to win games where they don't shoot well from three. And I know they're built; their offense is built primarily around shooting the three, but they're going to have to win games in this round, which they did yesterday, games in the second round, the conference finals, and the NBA finals, where they don't shoot well from three. You're not going to shoot well from three every as good as you are, right? This is not Stephen Clay in the Warriors, right? You're not going to shoot great from three every single night. You're going to have to win a game or two like that each series in order to win a championship. And I thought it was really encouraging that yesterday they won a game like that. So, KJ, yes, and I think that continues to game four.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Oh, man, how about them Bruins? Look, some of the things that you worried about last year, you know, like would Pasta show up? Was DeBrusque really happy? It was kind of the last ride with the old guys. But now it's like, They're really starting to show their head. And look, the move to continue with Swayman, this is what we had talked about, was after game four, I think you would stay with the hot hand. I ask, do you go with Omar in game five?
No, I would go Swayman in game five, but if it got to a game six, I would consider Omar. Because I've been someone all along, even before the playoffs, I was a proponent of a 2-1-2 rotation where you give one guy two games, then a breather for a game, then two more games, then a breather. So that way, still, like, your number one guy is still, you know, starting game one and game seven. So that, you know, and he's still starting game five. So I'm okay with Swayman for three games in a row here because he had game two off. But if it does get to game six, I would consider Ullmark. But Swayman has just been phenomenal in this series.
So, well, let me ask you, I got to follow up on that. Yeah. So, if it gets to a game six, then why would you change what's been hot?
Because I figure if you lose game five at home, there's probably a chance in that game that Swayman doesn't play well.
See,
because he's been so good. He's been like, he's the biggest reason they won game one.
I totally get it.
Yeah, they totally won game one 5-1, so the five stands out. But I mean, he had 35 saves on 36 shots. Like, Toronto was all over him in that game, and he was a stud. Then he had 30 saves on 28 shots the other night, and then last night, he only faced 25 shots, but 24 saves. I mean, he has been dominant. And there were multiple high-danger chances early in that game. He stopped. He's been great.
This is why you play Omar, because if you're up 3-1 and it doesn't work out, then you at least know that maybe he doesn't have it and you can go with Swayman if there are two more games. Right? Swayman's already won you on the one for you on the road. So if that's the case, actually won you two on the road, right? So if that's the case, you know he can go back on the road and win you a game six if you need to. And you would still go with him for game seven. So this is why I think
Omar can get.
Right.
Yeah.
So look, let's hear from Jim Montgomery for last night in terms of the adjustments and what really went on last night.
Getting Pasta and Marchand, you know, big plays from them. Just feel good to see that and their contributions.
Yeah, I mean, Marchie's been, you know, a dynamite these last two games. And I thought Pasta was good in game three, but he raised him to another level. I mean, he blocked shots. I mean, both of them blocked shots. But, you know, the plays he was making and the poise he had. In the playoffs, you need your big-time players to make big-time plays, and they're doing it for us.
That is huge. Pasta blocking. Talk about getting away from the finesse. Blocking shots and getting out in front of the puck. I like this attitude that I'm seeing from the Bruins, because I think probably what's in their head, especially, and we'll get to Toronto in a second, what's always been in their head is, oh boy, if they had lost last night and then came back home, what it would feel like last year.
Yeah.
And I think you have to eliminate that feeling right away, playing strong. That's why I think the Bruins, they're good to go for game five. I think it's over after game five.
Yeah, and by the way, Brad Marchand, second in the NHL in points this postseason. He has 8. Connor McDavid's leading the NHL with 9. I mean, Marchand has been dominant in this series. And Montgomery's right? You need your best players to step up in the playoffs and be great. He's been awesome in this series. I think Pastrnak has been really good. I mean, Pastrnak, too, he's had goals at key points. Like, I know in game two they didn't win, but he had that goal right at the end of the first period. Like, that's a key goal. Then last night he has that third goal, which really felt like a backbreaker for Toronto.
It allowed me to turn the game off, actually. I was able to go back to my family.
Yeah, right. So, but it felt like a backbreaker for, like, so he, not just that he's scoring, but he's getting these goals in key spots. The fourth line with Maroon, but Pat Maroon, man, I wish you had been in Boston 5 years ago. The Bruins would have won that 2019 Stanley Cup final. Jeez, he's been awesome. Beecher's been really good. And that's the thing, the Bruins
JVR,
depth.
Yeah.
Like, yes, the top guys have been great. Marchand's
from
been
my hometown,
dominant.
By the way.
I'm sure you taught him how to shoot as a kid.
No,
like Steph
no,
Curry?
No, no, he's okay. My younger brother's age. Yeah.
But I think to have your best players be their best is the number one thing, but you do need depth, and the Bruins' depth in this series has been really, really good, which is, I think, a huge reason why they're up 3. I mean, I think Swayman's the biggest reason they're up 3-1. Yeah. Marchand and Pastrnak are probably number two, but that depth is a close third.
Can we start the funeral music? You know, I don't want to jinx the team. But
hey, they were up 3-1 coming home last year.
But
for game
this
five.
Is Toronto.
I know.
A couple nights ago I said, you know, better to have Toronto believing that something can happen. And that's after after they won game two.
Yeah.
Right? You have them believe, because then when they believe, they think they can receive. And then after last night, they're like, oh my gosh, like the Lord hates the Maple Leafs. And I might be saying, you know, while I can't biblically say anything, but I mean, it's pretty almost two Haley's Comets have passed almost before they've won anything. So yeah. I don't feel bad for them at all. However, it is very... This is why I don't want to see it go to a game six, because you might see people crying if the Maple Leafs lose a game six at home.
Yeah, and the other thing,
in tears,
like,
you know, that's why the Bruins just get it done in five. Let them cry in their own beer. Let them cry in their bats at home, you know?
And this to me, like, this is the Bruins with the Maple Leafs is kind of like what the Brady Belichick Patriots were with the Steelers, or like, you know, the Warriors were with the Celtics a couple of years ago. It's just like, you know they're going to find a way to win.
No,
like,
the Maple Leafs are the Red Sox pre-2004.
Sure. That's the last time the Maple Leafs beat the Bruins in a playoff series was, what, 1959?
59.
Like, Dwight Eisenhower was president of the United States the last time the Bruins lost a playoff series to the Maple Leafs. Like,
was the Mass Pike finished yet?
That's a great question. Yeah,
right,
I know.
Was it completed in 59?
Yeah, and that's it. Like, with a team like Toronto, too, and, like, the history stuff's fun to talk about. Like, oh, it's been since 1950. But even just look at this specific group. They have also struggled against the Bruins. It's not like this is guys that have never played the Bruins before. And I know there's a lot of new faces on the Maple Leafs from the last time they played the Bruins in the playoffs, but a lot of those core guys, the leaders, the top dogs, it's the same guys that have lost to the Bruins before. And I think you put that doubt there, you want to keep that doubt there. And the Bruins are another team, and I know this is kind of stating the obvious, but you want to win in five, especially in the first round of the NHL playoffs, because the battles only get physically tougher and tougher and tougher as you go. Especially
think about
if they
the Islander series a couple years ago.
Right. If they get a Florida in round two, like, that's going to be a brutal series physically. Like, you want to win this in five and get as much rest as possible.
Yeah, this is how bad it is for the Leafs. Like, I did a parody about, like, Maple Leafs have always been losers to AC/DC's. Rock and roll is ain't noise pollution. I think that parody is 3 years old or something like that.
You can play that in perpetuity.
Exactly. If the Bruins are going up 2-0, I thought about playing it, but then it went 1-1. I was like, you know what? I can't play it. But I'm telling you right now, if this is over in five and we're on, let's see, they play on the 30th. So if this is over on the 30th and we're together again on the 1st.
No, I think Joe Celtics. Wiles got it that night.
No, but if we're back on the 1st. So if the 1st and that series is over, I'm cranking it up to show you how bad it's been for them. It's hilarious now that you might be able to play it in 10 years.
Yeah.
And no one would feel bad.
And the thing is, like, these two teams, and we talked about this Wednesday night, like, the Bruins won 47 games this year. Like, the Maple Leafs won 46. Like, the Maple Leafs have good top-end talent. These are two reasonably evenly matched teams. The big differences to me, the Bruins, and the Bruins in goal are much, much better. Samsonov's let in some goals that are just, like, pretty darn soft, right? So the Bruins are much better in goal, and then there's that whole loser DNA. We're never going to beat these guys.
They're the Dallas Cowboys.
It's like the Bruins used to be against the Canadians when they went like 40 years without beating the Canadians in a playoff series. Yeah, then when they finally did, you know, the roof
Canadians
came off the city.
Were a wagon, you know.
Right. But it's like that's a part of it. But I think if you're the Maple Leafs and you see Jeremy Swayman go out there and in game one you're all over him and you shoot it 36 times and he gives up one goal and then he does it again on your home ice for two other games – like, you got to sit there and think, how do we beat this guy? It's almost impossible.
After game three, or after game two when we were on together, you said, hey, at some point the fever's got to break for Toronto.
It will happen one day.
And I told you, it's not happening now.
Yeah.
And I was thinking,
it may be the year 2153, but okay. It will happen one day.
It's not happening this year.
Yeah,
though,
I don't think so either.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your text messages as well. 37937. That's next. Thank you so much for hanging out. Good Sunday to you.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yo. Uh-huh. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Hopefully you're having a wonderful weekend. John, I have to admit, so I didn't get to really watch the later rounds of the NFL draft. We'll get to the draft talk here.
What, KJ? You didn't watch all seven rounds, every pick?
Here's why. My daughter called me into like immediate action to say, hey, I need you to come down for my boyfriend's family event where the entire family will be there. So I'm telling my wife, I'm like, do you think her boyfriend's going to propose in front of everybody? She's like, I don't think so. I was just like, but this seems like such an urgent, urgent call. And so now, like, every time my daughter is calling me to beat at something specific, everything triggers, like, is this going to be, like, popping the question in front of me?
You're really putting the boyfriend on the spot here.
No, I mean, wow. He can take all the damn time in the world
right.
he wants.
I just want to make that clear. Okay, so no, he can take his time.
He's a great guy. No, I don't want him to take too much time because I have daughters, right? So that's the other thing. So for those who listen to KJ, we have a very popular women's contingency 2554 that enjoy the show. Even though that's not what we're supposed to do, they enjoy the show. You don't want to have a woman waiting too damn long for you to ask a simple question of, will you be with me for the rest of your life? Like, can you not get that out? You can name everybody who's been picked in the last 48 rounds of the last six drafts, but you can't ask me, will you marry me?
So like, my question is, this urgent event, was it a draft party?
I was hoping. You know, it's just like, you know, because he's an Eagles fan, so I was kind of like, hey.
They had a pretty good draft, by the way. Should've
well, but that's the thing, though. And so, you know, so it wasn't that, thankfully, you know, as I found out. So I just don't. I'm comfortable with it. You know, people are like, is it like the movie Father of the Bride? I'm like, you're going to make me go back and watch that movie. But I will say this as a parent of a child who's, you would want somebody in this world to choose you. This is a lonely world already as it is. And if someone is not there to choose you, that kind of sucks. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of dudes heading that way because they got their head in the phone and can't talk to a woman. They can't.
Yeah. For those speaking of choosing, I cannot wait to get to our NFL draft talk later.
Listen to you. Like, you can't
choices.
Talk about life a little bit here
no,
on the air?
No, I don't want to talk about life on the air.
Oh,
though.
This is so that's that no. much of an exceed. You know,
no.
you can't
we're
really
way too. You know, if we had a 3-hour show, I would talk about life with you. But we have a 2-hour show.
Oh, the world's not going to end.
You know, I think right now, the Celtics and Bruins playoffs are more important than any marriages and engagements, right?
The hell
except
with
for
that?
Our own. Except
that,
for our own.
Look, I love the Bruins. The Bruins donated $10,000 when our family raised $362,000 in one night for the March of Dimes in 2018. I'm always going to be a B till I die. But damn, I got to think about the rest of my life with my family. Just saying. 617.
That pasta goal really helped you out last night.
It did, really did, because I could go ahead and focus on some things. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Shout out Odyssey Greensboro for letting me use their studios while I'm visiting family. Shane on the Cape, thank you so much for calling WEEI. You agree with me, go back to Omark for game four?
Yeah, I think you go back to Omark. You know, I think, you know, he's proven that he deserves to be out there. You know, Swayman's been great, but, you know, I think you're up 3-1. You know, yeah, Swayman just played two games in a row. I think this is a good spot to, you know, Omark wasn't bad. He wasn't the reason they lost game two. You know, so I think he deserves a shot. And then, you know, if it doesn't go well from, I think, win or lose, you know, if he loses game six, you go back
and
to
seven.
Back to
yeah,
Swayman.
Six and seven to Swayman.
I don't think you can go. If you give Swayman game five and they lose, I think it has to be Swayman the rest of the series. I don't think you could put Allmark back out there game six on the road in Toronto in a game six. I don't know if that's totally fair to the guy. He'd be almost, you know, a week and a half, close to 10 days, you know, sitting.
He would be on ice. Yeah, so you'd be on ice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have to say, I think Shane and KJ, you guys have kind of convinced me. I was leaning Swayman in game five to start the show, but I think this is the mistake the Bruins made last year, right? They stuck with Omark in game five, didn't play well. By the time they went to Swayman, it was too late. They can kind of do the opposite of that and maybe give Swayman a breather here and go back to him either in game six or game one of the next series, depending on what happens in game five.
All right, let's get to the text line 37937, and then right after that, we get to the Lions Den. Zach, what you got?
All righty, first one, can't go wrong with a House of Pain rejoin.
That's what I'm saying. I'll put your head out.
Back to Pat Maroon. The problem is Maroon was on St. Louis in 2019 when they beat the Bruins.
Yeah, I still have nightmares about it.
Yeah, so yeah, that's why
I'm vividly aware
that
he was on St. Louis in 2019. I still have nightmares. Bruins all lost three home games that series.
Well, you know, that's the other thing is now they can turn all of that around to these last few years of pain that's been going on. You notice I put the House of Pain and brought that back.
All right, they won't beat the Rangers.
Okay, but let's get to where they are right now. Like, you know, they're still potentially the Panthers that they have to get through, and that's not going to be anything easy. So saying they're not going to beat the Rangers, okay, you know, like, are the Rangers going to beat Carolina? Do you know that for sure?
So I do think the Rangers are probably the best team in the East, but to KJ's point, especially with the Bruins, let's get there. Like, you know, I know with the Celtics, we've kind of been looking ahead. I get it, which still can be dangerous, but like with the Bruins of all teams.
That has to be a tester from New York. It has to be.
Let's just get there. Yeah. I do think the Rangers are better than the Bruins, but at least just get there.
All right, we're going to get Patriots talk and the draft. It was huge. I think it was widely successful. That's coming in 7 minutes, but right now it's time for...
See the one about lions?
Can't lose to this guy after.
King of the jungle.
All right, John, you have the power of a Roman emperor in your hand with these roars or meows. The first, will the Celtics roar this week to a series win in game five, in five games?
Yes, they will, for two reasons. A, I think they're the better team, but then B, I have Friday night off from doing the post-game show after a game six.
Really? So that's what it's tied to? Like, on the schedule? Like, because if that's the case, then I'm kind of
it's just because they're better.
Well, I'm mad because if this is over four games, I'm supposed to be at a board meeting at 7 p.m. on the first. If this was over in four, I wouldn't be happy. Next, will the Bruins roar this week to a series win and end it in five games as well?
Yes, they will. That's a big roar for them. I think Toronto had their back broken in that game four at home, and I think the Bruins close it out.
I would go with a more violent comparison, like had their neck ripped, because you know that's what they do in the jungle. The third one. Will Drake May roar as a Patriot, or will it be a Mac-like meow?
You know what? I think we're going to get a roar here. All right. And to be clear, we're not going to get like a Joe Burrow type roar, but you're going to get a pretty good roar from this guy. I have a good feeling.
I think we might be looking at maybe a house cat.
Oh, KJ, you're killing me, man. You're killing me.
But I agree with you that both the Bruins and the Celtics will roar and end their series in five games. That's the Lions Den on KJ and Lions here on WEEI. The second hour next, 617-779-7937. Good Sunday.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.